tremendous special. Thank you for that. What a blessing. Amen. I'm excited. I just love to sing those patriotic hymns. They stir my heart. I know our country is not what it was, but that hasn't taken away my patriot spirit. Not one bit. I'm grateful, and I thank the Lord. I mean, as much as I can think of, if I said every day, I don't know that I'm thinking about that particular thing. I'm thankful to the Lord about many things every day, but I'm grateful many, many times for the country that I've lived in for all of these years and what we have. And so many things are slipping away, but that just means that we have to dig in deeper as God's people. Amen? We need to dig in deeper and pray, and we need to be faithful to what He's called us to, because the time is short, folks. And we only have so much time left to serve the Lord, to tell others about Christ, to live pleasing unto the Lord before He comes back. Because there is going to be a reckoning. I know we won't have to give an account for our sins, because if we know Christ, they were judged at Calvary, and they're forgiven. They've been thrown into the deepest sea. Amen. But we are going to have to give an account for how we lived as a Christian. And so may we step on it, right? Because our time is short. So that was sermon number one. All right, you got that one. You got that one for free. All right, now I want you to turn to Galatians, and Galatians chapter 5. And I want to bring up the subject of our great liberty, our great liberty. And we mentioned just a few, just a little bit ago, more than just a few moments ago, but when we started the service, that, listen, our country is about to be 247 years old. Praise the Lord that He has watched out over this country all of those years. And again, what a blessing. We have a wonderful heritage. Amen. Amen? You can't be silent on that one, because we do. And as quiet as you want to be, boy, we need to shout to the rooftops or from the rooftops that we have a wonderful heritage, and we've been blessed in a great way. And God has done so much for our nation. And it says in Psalm 33 and verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I know for 46 years of being saved, it just is happening less and less. And the influence that our forefathers had, and that this nation being a Christian nation has had, is beginning to be leached out more and more. But we don't have to give in to that. We don't have to fall prey to that. We're to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be grateful for what He's given to us, and certainly be thankful for what He's given to us as a nation. He has given us freedom. He has given us liberty. We know that, certainly, in a nation. We know the liberties that we have as a nation. Now, for those of us, again, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we've come to experience liberty, really, to a whole new level. Amen? We certainly have. We have spiritual freedom, folks. We have spiritual liberty. And I'm grateful for what the Lord has given to us. And I'm going to speak about along those lines of the fact of what God has given to us as His children, as a born-again believer in Christ. True liberty takes place when someone is born again, when someone comes to trust Christ as their personal Savior. I'll just read these two verses, and then we're going to get into Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 5 here in verse 1 in just a moment. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I'm free from the law of sin and death. Boy, that is something to be excited about. And then, yeah, and John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth shall make you free. So now here in Galatians chapter 5, where I've had you turn, I'm just going to read that very first portion of that scripture. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to You today, and we're grateful for the opportunity to gather together as saints, as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as your children. What a great thing it is to be a part of the family of God. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that when we were lost and on our way to hell, when we were on our own track, you did something. You used somebody to bring the gospel to us. You let the Word of God do its work in our hearts. You awakened us and then brought us under conviction of our sin and brought us to Christ. And we thank you for every one of us who knows Christ Jesus as our Savior today. How grateful we are that we belong to you now. We're sinners that have been saved by grace, but you look at us and we're new creatures in Christ. Yeah, you see the righteousness of Christ that has been given to us, that has been given to our account. What a wonderful thing, Lord, that we have, that we know Christ Jesus as our Savior. And so we thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, Lord, I pray, and I'll say this as well, Lord, thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. In just a couple of days, we'll be celebrating that great birthday or anniversary of our country. And so we thank you for what we have there. And so we pray that as your word is being opened, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, that you would speak to our hearts, those of us that know Christ, this great liberty that we have in you. And we pray for anybody that's here without Christ, that you'd work in their hearts and lives. We want them to have what we have. We want their hearts to be opened. We can't do it. I can't do it through the amount of speaking that I'm going to do. It's the Spirit of God who does that. And I would look unto you, dear Holy Spirit, to work in every heart. And if there is somebody here without Christ, would you open that heart up, shine some light in their heart, and then bring them under conviction to show them that they need a Savior. And so we pray for somebody without Christ that they get saved today. And so we ask, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through this message, that Christ would be exalted. And I pray for the Spirit of God that you would do your work, that you could speak through me, that you'd fill me and anoint me. And I thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So, folks, I'll read that portion of Scripture again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So now, as believers, now as Christians, we have been called upon to take this wonderful liberty and allow God to build upon it by His grace. God wants to build upon that liberty that He has laid out. He seeks to develop us and to ultimately make us as Christ-like as possible. That's if we yield to Him and we allow His Word to do its work in our heart. But folks, unfortunately, the problems begin to start when we monkey up the works by getting in God's way. You ever monkey up the works? Yeah, I've done it way too often. That's what these Galatian believers were doing. That's exactly what's happening here. They had monkeyed up things. Verses 1 through 4 here, the last part of verse 1, I've read that first part a couple of times now. It says this, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," which is what was happening to the Galatian believers. They were falling back to the law again. And it says here in verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." You are fallen from grace. Listen, they had monkeyed up things. You know, it's not a good thing when things aren't in the place where they're supposed to be. Again, it's like toys go places where they don't belong. I've known that as a dad. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you got to head to the bathroom, or you hear a noise across the other side of the house, maybe in the backyard, and as you're walking along, there's that Lego, and it just finds its place right between your third and your fourth toe. It's not a good thing when that happens, right? It's the wrong thing in the wrong place. I think about toys and I think about army men in the toilet. We've had to fish out things, out of that toilet when our kids were growing up, and that was mostly my sons there. You know, I'm like, son, those Army men, they're not Navy SEALs, okay? We don't put them in the toilet. They just monkey up things. They monkey up the works. And that's what these Galatian believers were doing with their liberty that they had in Christ. Folks, we can be good at monkeying up things. Now, it's always the Lord's desire, folks, that he would develop us. It is his promise to us. Philippians 1, chapter 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will continue to perform it. He'll perform it till the day of Christ. He wants to continue to do a good work in us. Liberty, folks, is a foundation that he chooses to build upon. We've been given this liberty, and now he wants to build upon it. Will we let him build upon it? Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This working is done in our hearts and in our lives. After he exhorts these believers to stand fast in that liberty, he advises them to be watchful, to be watchful, to be sober. You hear that word many, many times about being sober-minded. And there are some things that we must do if liberty is going to be developed in us. And do you want that liberty to be developed in your life? I certainly want it to be in my life. Well, there's one thing. There's a good thing to start off with. And the first thing that I'll bring forth is that it's important. And, of course, we allow God to do this. But we're determined that he will do it. And that is identify in yourself what it is that would hinder what liberty started. You and I need to identify what it is that would throttle what liberty has started, and what the grace of God is wanting to do in you. And the Lord will help you and I with this. The Lord will help us. But he says right here in verse 7, as we continue to go on, he says this, ye did run well. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He says to these believers that you were doing great. Everything was going well, and something has come along and has thwarted all of this. And it's kind of stagnated the process. I think sometimes the process in our lives gets thwarted. It gets constricted, right? And it gets throttled because of just some sin in our life, right? Yeah, you're not going to be that quiet on me, because it's just true with every one of us. We hold off what the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. Listen, once the old nature gets its foot in the door, it just creates all kinds of problems. And folks, there are carnal sins aplenty that can trip us up. And folks, you and I can fill in the blank. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about besetting sin. When we get away from the Lord, that's usually where we go right back to. It's those old sins. And those sins are laid out so clearly here toward the end of the chapter. So I'll jump to that part, because it says there in verses 19 through 21. Let me read those verses right now, because that applies. It says here in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we don't have time to go through that whole list, but listen, they that commit such things will not, as it says there at the end of that verse, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen, we as believers can fall prey to these things. Yeah, you may not be committing these things, but you know what? If it's there in the thought life, Jesus says it's a sin. Yeah, if you or I, you know, if we haven't committed adultery, but the Lord Jesus said, if we've thought those thoughts and we've lusted in our hearts, we've committed adultery already in our hearts. So listen, you take a look at all of those things and you think, I don't have a problem with those. Yeah, not even in your thought life. It doesn't even cross your mind. Well, listen, that's where the works get gummed up. And that's where grace is not able to flow and work and do the work that God intends for it to do. Because, again, we've fallen prey and we've allowed our minds to go places where it should not to go. Or maybe in the things that we do, we're not pleasing unto the Lord. So, folks, there are sins aplenty that we can fall into. And, by the way, again, these flaws in our character need only be little. They just need to be little, because take a look at verses 8 and 9. We'll continue to go through this chapter. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. All right? In other words, whoever was kind of whispering in your ear and pulling you away from the grace of God and from this liberty that you have in Christ, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It didn't come from the Lord. It didn't come from God. He's not pulling you that direction. But that's why it says in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All the devil is looking for in your life, and all that he's looking for in my life, is just to get a little part. Just a little part. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, well, I don't really give in to that. I just think about it now and then. The Lord doesn't want you to go there with it. Now listen, you know, we're not all going to ring the bell and be perfect. We're not. We still have an old nature. But any time that those things come across our mind and in our heart and in our thoughts, we need to be praying, Lord, would you help me? Would you make me sensitive to those things? Would you let the red flag be raised up and let me spot it? I'll do something about it at that point. We need to. When something like that happens and the fire alarm, the signals come blaring, we ought to just stop right there and say, Lord, forgive me. I find that it shouldn't be there. Will you please help me? Will you give me some victory with that? You know, the Lord wants to give us victory. And he'll help us with all of that. But all the devil needs is just a little bit. So take heed to that. And may I take heed to that as well. I think one of our greatest problems is just due to just being lazy. Sometimes we're just lazy and we don't want to address these issues. And listen, God will never use us or develop us if we're lazy. He has nothing good to say about laziness or slothfulness. It says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, he also that is slothful, his work is brother to him that is a great waster. It says, if we're slothful in our work, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13 says, in the streets, the reason I couldn't do my work is there's a lion out there. Yeah, there's a lion. It's a little kitty cat. But if we're lazy, we like to hype up things. We like to embellish things so it makes us look not so bad, right? We need, folks, we need to get off of our spiritual duffs and do something about laziness. Amen? We don't want to be lazy people. And you know, you might say, well, I work hard and I go to my job, but what about spiritually speaking? We don't want to be spiritually lazy. So about laziness, someone once said, the trouble with doing nothing is that you never know when you're finished. I heard somebody say, I'm very superstitious. I won't work any week that has a Friday in it. I've known some people like that, folks. And listen, by the way, I have a big lazy streak inside of too, right? But we got to fight that thing and not give into it. Listen, a lack of discipline, temperance. The Bible speaks about temperance, and that's what that is. You don't have a plan. You don't have a strategy. We're to have a plan. We're to get it from the Lord. We're to have a regimen about us as believers that, boy, we get up in the morning, we want to spend time with the Lord. We want to go ahead and have some routine about what we do. Have a regimen of some sort. We don't want to make it drudgery. We don't want that to happen, but we should have some discipline about us. Amen? We lead sometimes sloppy and unproductive lives. We're not redeeming the time, as the Bible tells us, that we're to redeem our time because the days are evil. Paul talked to Titus about the Cretans. He said that, hey, don't be like the Cretans. The Cretans are evil beasts and slow bellies. They were on that island of Crete. And you know, we just talked about Brother Spencer Baker. You know, Hawaii sounds like a wonderful place, right, to be a missionary, to be a pastor. Oh, no, think again, okay? Because everybody on that island has that, what, hang ten or hang loose or whatever it is, mentality. Man, hey, dude, let's go surfing, dude. How about church? What, church? Dude, look at the waves. That's what he's got to deal with. That's all the time. That don't sound like fun. And that's what Titus was going to have to deal with on the island of Crete. He says, you're going to have an island mentality going on out there. And don't fall and become like those Cretans that are evil beasts and slow bellies. Even the world understands that in order to be successful, you must work hard. Right? Anybody that's successful knows that they have to work hard. Listen, how would you feel if you were just about to have a triple bypass surgery and you found out that the surgeon just does those operations as a hobby once or twice a year? You mean you've only done once or twice in this last year? Yeah? That's it? I'd look at my wife and say, "What? Well, we're out of here. I'm going to go to somebody who takes this thing serious, right? Somebody that works hard at it." Listen, and then there's another area, and that's the devil, and the devil who loves to deceive. The devil loves to deceive, and we can fall into that deception. Listen, are you given to deception? Are you easily deceived? Listen, I don't know if you know this, but the new Webster's dictionaries have come out, and the word gullible has been taken out. You believe that? Gotcha. Yeah. See how easily deceived you are? Yeah, some of you knew it was coming. Listen, these Galatian believers were tricked. They were hoodwinked. They were jaded. He says to them in Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath fooled you? Somebody has jaded you. Somebody's taken you. And they thought, listen, we need to embrace the law. We need to embrace the law. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul talked about the law. We'll talk about that tonight as we start going into the book of 1 Timothy. You remember Paul said this at the very beginning of the book of Galatians. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel. It didn't seem to take long. You got saved and you trusted Christ, and then someone comes along and suggests to you that you need to go back to the Old Testament law. Folks, it's a good thing for us to seek the Lord here, to look unto the Lord. Say like the psalmist, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. He says that in Psalm 26. And God will reveal things to us, folks. He'll reveal things to us. Now, after you're identifying your slipping points, because God will reveal those things to you and I, verses 10 through 12, Paul exhorts and warns them. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. So Paul is warning those who are troubling them, but he's trying to get them to understand, listen, distance yourself from those who are creating problems. So then he goes on, and then liberty, when we yield to Christ, this second point will lead you and I to think more of others. That's what we'll see with liberty as it's allowed to be developed in us by the Lord. It'll help us to begin to look at others more than ourselves. Verses 13 and 14, we look here, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Amen. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know what it'll begin to do is liberty, once it begins to maturing in us as the Lord does his work, it will become an issue of growth. We'll begin to grow in the things of Christ. The foolish notion about liberty is to carnally think, well, I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm liberated. Well, that's foolish for somebody to think, well, I'm home free. For a believer to think that now that we have liberty in Christ, we can entertain loose living, that's not the case. The Bible always exhorts us, and God always commands us, whatever dispensation you're in, God wants his people to live holy, and he wants them to be righteous and godly. So that is so far from the truth. Our forefathers paid a great price so that we might have liberty to serve God, not to live licentious, frivolous, and wasteful lives. Peter Marshall was a great circuit-riding preacher, and he once said this, "Lord, make us to see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to do right." Boy, that's a great quote. Might we use it as an opportunity to do right and not to be pleasing unto ourselves? And so it is with God. He didn't give us the liberty of salvation so we could just live for fleshly desires. He gave it so that we could serve him and be a blessing to others. That's how it plays itself out. That is akin to what Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, when Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then what does Paul follow that statement with? "God forbid." Yeah, God forbid. You know, he asked that, what's the kind of question when you're not really expecting an answer? A rhetorical question. He's just asking a rhetorical question. It's like, you don't need to answer this, but yeah, we're supposed to just live, you know, the way we want because of grace? God forbid. He says, God forbid, that is not the way God wants it to be at all. How ridiculous. About as ridiculous as, let's defund the police so crime will go down. Who can't see that one? Now listen, no doubt the old nature is going to make itself be heard. The old nature, man, that's always going to be a stickler. It's always going to be a problem for us. The old nature, if he could talk, and sometimes it's like you can hear him talk. He's, what about me? Hey, what about me? Have you forgotten your old pal? How does this affect me? I don't know how I'm going to deal with all of this. You know, you haven't heard the last from me. Sounds like the old nature, doesn't it? Yeah, the old nature doesn't like this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And that's really what we are at our core, in the old nature, in the old man. When we operate, even as a believer, out of the old nature, it's all about self. It's all about, how's this going to affect me? Liberty that's used properly will mean that you'll spend more time with others. Listen, if you're thinking more about others, your wife and your children, or your husband, your children, your extended family, those in the church, the Lord himself, if you're thinking more about those things, then liberty is doing a work in your life. Grace is happening in your life. But it's just all about me and all about how this affects me, then we're not really growing, and we're not letting the Lord develop that liberty that he created in us when we got saved. All we're wanting to do is just think of ourselves. But if we are growing in liberty, we'll want to give of ourselves. That's a good acid test, folks. A good litmus test for every one of us is to see, Lord, am I growing in this grace that you've given to me, in the liberty that I have in Christ? Help me to become more like you. Am I thinking more about others? Will you help that? Will you help me? And the Lord will reveal those things. And the Lord will shine a light on where we still need to, some things that still need to be rooted out. But if we'll trust the Lord, he'll show us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Every man also on the things of others as we grow in the things of the Lord. Now be careful about the old nature, because the old nature pops up so quick. We know that. Verse 15, so he goes right back to there after he talks about loving your neighbor as yourself and not using liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But then he gets in verse 15 and he says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That old nature, folks, is so quick to pop up, just like an unexpected guest. You mean Aunt Gertrude is coming? Really quick, right? If there's an Aunt Gertrude here, forgive me, all right? Now, ultimately, liberty in Christ will take us to the highest level of true spirituality, if we'll allow it. And it will develop in us a strong desire to walk with Christ, a strong desire to walk with God. Verses 16 through 18, we take a look at this portion of Scripture here. 16 through 18 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. It will develop a strong desire to want to walk with Christ. I encourage you to ask God to give you that desire. I pray for the Lord to give me that desire. And he has given that to me, but I still see the old nature there hanging around. Do you see him as well? Yeah, certainly. But it starts with being filled with the Spirit of God. Your condition is being filled. And then it must proceed to walking in the Spirit. In other words, the evidences of your condition. First of all, just be asking the Lord to fill us. Not just to be filled for being filled's sake. I mean, yeah, that's wonderful. You're at home. You say, Lord, fill me. And he fills you, but then that's all you wanted for? That's just like somebody saying, I want to just speak in tongues, or I just want to do this. You know, it's not for self. Yeah, it is. It's important for us to walk with the Lord and to be filled with his Spirit. But ultimately, it's to be walking in the Spirit so that we can be a blessing to others. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit so that we can be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. By the way, you know why we have so many problems, don't you? It's because we as believers, we don't walk continuously in the Spirit. We don't. We get off in the flesh too often. If we did, we would fend off many potential problems. We hit and miss a lot. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm not throwing you under the bus without throwing myself under that bus. Listen, you get into the flesh and you can just create problems. You can create problems with your spouse. You can create problems with your children. You can create problems in the church when we are operating out of the old nature. But folks, we hit and miss a lot. This is the level that we want to attain to, and that is to just be more consistent from day to day walking with the Lord. Let me encourage you to aim high. Don't be satisfied with a low style of living. Some people just try to live at a very, very low level. Oh, I just want to be mediocre. I don't think anybody says that, but some people are just happy with just having a 205 batting average. I wouldn't be happy with a 205 batting average. That's just mediocre. We ought to strive. We ought to aim high, because that glorifies the Lord. Amen? Amen. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it half-heartedly as to the Lord and not unto men. Is that what it says? No, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Man, we're to do things to our utmost because it honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can be like that fellow who always tucked in one of his pant legs into his sock. And someone asks, why do you do that? He says, so no one will expect a whole lot out of me. Sometimes that's how we operate. We don't want people to expect a whole lot. We don't want the bar to be raised up. But you know what? That's insulting to God. It's insulting to him, because he is the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he deserves our best. And when I say that, I'm speaking to me more than anybody here. He deserves my best. Do I always give him my best? I'd like to be able to say I do, but there's times when I don't. But I want to determine, and I do, Lord, I determine to do everything that's pleasing unto you, and I want to hit at a high level, but I know there's times when I don't. And I know those times that create a challenge for me. Those are the times when, you know, maybe not everything is going the way we want to, and we're just not happy with our circumstances. Maybe it's just after a long day, and we're just so tired that we just feel like, well, that bar is not realistic up there. I'm going to put it down here, right? Because we're so tired, we just get grumpy and crabby. And it's like, well, hey, you know, that just comes with the territory. What, I'm supposed to be walking in the Spirit after a long day, and I'm tired, and, you know, I need some sleep. You know, we can still operate in the Spirit if we'll just determine to do that and look unto the Lord for that. And so even in the most difficult of times, and I just want to say this, I could throw out some names right now, and I won't do that because I don't want to embarrass you, but there are so many of you that I know that you are in your toughest times. And yeah, I'm not all the time in your house, and I'm sure maybe you have some rough times, but I'm just so grateful for the fact that some of you that have gone through some really rough times in these last several years, you've just greeted me with a big smile on your face. And you know what? You know, I know that's not fake. Yeah, probably times when you're by yourself. Again, there might be some tough times and some lower moments, but I'm grateful for those of you that have put on your game face. And when you're going through rough times, you can just smile and say, praise the Lord, he's good. Amen. And he helps me. He ministers to my heart. You know what? You are such a blessing to me, those of you that have gone through some times, and you can say that. I'm so grateful that I've had so many opportunities to be beside the bedridden saints, some of them ready to go home to be with the Lord. I had that opportunity when I was at Treasure Valley Baptist. I was a hospital visitation. I did most of those hospital calls. Other pastors did as well, and certainly my pastor did, but that was my ministry, and I had opportunities to go and be with folks in their home when they were on hospice, when hospice came into their home, or they were down, you know, the hospice down in the area down there. Of course, I've been here down the street at Snide Miller, the hospice house, many times. And you watch believers that they know and they're still aware, they're still conscious, and they know their time's running out. And there's a legitimate smile on their face. You know, you don't manufacture that. You don't just concoct that up if it's not real. I can tell when it's real. It's like, Lord, you've done that. You've given them a spirit of joy, a peace that passeth understanding. Only God is able to do that. But folks, we don't want to live at a level that is subpar. It needs to be pleasing unto the Lord. Let me just read two passages of Scripture that speak to this subject. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read verses 18 through 20. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Galatians chapter 5 here, where we're at. Let's just take a look now what it says there in verses 22 through 25 as we look toward the end of this chapter. It says that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We are called to walk in the Spirit, to walk with God. Folks, we have been called unto liberty. And just as the apostle did with these folks here, the Galatian churches, he says to every one of you and through the Word of God, and I challenge you as well to stand fast in that liberty that the Lord has given to us. Not only stand fast in that liberty, but allow liberty to run its course in you and I, that you may be all that God has called you to be. Identifying those problems in ourselves that slow the process down. And then thinking of others. When we watch liberty work in our heart, it just begins to put us outside of ourselves, and we begin to think about others more than we do even ourselves. and then walking with God, walking with Christ, having that fellowship with Him. That's where God wants us to be. So, believer, I ask you this question: where are you at in regard to this liberty that you have from the Lord Himself? You know Christ is your Savior. You have been given spiritual liberty. You have been given spiritual freedom. But have you allowed the Lord to grow that? Have you allowed the Lord to develop that within yourself? Have I allowed that? It's good for us to address that before the Lord and to talk to the Lord about it and say, Lord, help me. I want that to be something that you can work on in my life. I need to get my hands off of it and not monkey up the works like these Galatian believers did with grace. Now, maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, then I want to make an invitation to you, the invitation that was made to me a long time ago, is we want to see you get saved. We want to see you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He loves you. He loved you so much. He came to this earth, was born from a virgin. He was sinless from his whole existence. He's been sinless, but he was sinless in his whole time that he was here on earth. And he grew up, became a man, went to a cross on our behalf. Jesus died for you on a cross without ever committing any sin. But he took your sin upon him. He took my sin upon him. He became a sinner in our place. He took our transgressions upon him. He died in our place, and then he was buried and rose again. And the Bible says that if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he will give to you everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't work for it. You just trust what he did for you. He did all the work. But he wants to save you. If you're here today without Christ, I want to invite you to step out in the aisle and to come forward. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And Christian, if God's spoken to your heart about this wonderful liberty that we have it certainly in our lives as believers. We have it in a country, and I'm grateful for those who gave their lives for our country, those who defend our country. I'm so grateful for every one of them. But I speak to the one who's given us the greatest liberty, and that's Jesus Christ. If he's spoken to you about that, then I hope that you'll respond to the Lord. Let's bow our heads at this time. In just a moment, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I'll ask Vicki to begin to start playing the piano as soon as she can. And while the piano is being played, and as we're in thought and we're in prayer before the Lord, a spirit and an attitude of prayer, then I just want to exhort you to do whatever God has called you to do. Maybe it's an opportunity to just tell him, Lord, help me. Maybe I've taken this liberty for granted. Maybe I've stunted my own growth because of some things in my life. Will you help me? I want to be honoring and pleasing unto you. We have an opportunity right now. You can come to the altar. You can pray to the Lord where you're at. But it's good to respond to the Lord when he speaks to our hearts. And then if you're here without Christ, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I want to just invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can step out in the aisle and come up to the front. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Won't you do today what God would call you to do? With that, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercies. Thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ. Thank you that you've made us free. But Lord, help us not to just take that for granted. Help us not to live a life of licentiousness. Help us not to be loose with our living. Help us to turn our lives over unto you. Lord, help us to realize it came at a great price. And now it's just our reasonable service to turn our lives over to you. That's what your word says. Would you help us to do that? And if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray you'll work in their hearts, Lord, and show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we thank you, we praise you in all of this. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn book. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. You just do what God's called you to do today.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.